Well, good morning, Conqueror Sunday School class. This is Brother Ray Shutt, and I'm so glad that you've joined us again for another lesson online here from the Conqueror's Sunday School class. Our series that we are going through right now is entitled Comeback, God's Providence in Motion. And today we will be in the book of Ezra, chapter number 7. This lesson is for Sunday morning, May the 30th, 2021, and the lesson is entitled Traveling with Guidebook in Hand. Before we get started with the lesson this morning, I want to give you a couple of announcements. Number one, I want to just say how we praise the Lord for the great revival services we just had last week, started last Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday evenings. God was just so good during those services, and I'm so glad that you were able to come to those services, and I hope that revival has begun in your heart, and that you'll continue to tell folks about the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to remind you also that we still have the nursery open for our Sunday morning services. The nursery begins at 10:45 and it's open for those children ages birth to 36 months or 3 years. And then at 10:45, we also have the junior church service, which is up in the great room. That is for ages 4 through 6th grade. And then some good news. Those of you that sing in our choir or are contemplating singing in the choir, we will begin having choir practices on Sunday, June the 6th, beginning at 4:30 in the afternoon. And Pastor Young would love to have you be a part of that. You can call him, let him know that you'd like to be a part of the choir, or just show up and be there. And if you have any of the music that we were planning to have for the Living Cross this year, if you have any of that in your possession, you need to bring that back with you to the choir practice so we can get it put up and prepare for the next year that we have the Living Cross. And then some of you have been asking about Sunday school. When is Sunday school going to start back up? Well, Pastor made the announcement a couple Wednesday nights ago that we're looking at trying to get everything set up for Sunday school mid-July. So be in prayer about that, would you? We'd love to have you start coming back into the physical Sunday school class environment here in Baker Auditorium. But until that time, we're going to continue to do the lessons here online, and we hope that these lessons are a help and an encouragement to you. All right? So today we're looking at lesson number 6. It's entitled Traveling with Guidebook in Hand. We're going to be looking at Ezra chapter 7. And if you are listening to this lesson online, please be sure that you open the lesson outline there. It is attached. It's in a PDF format so that you can print it out. If you don't have a printer, be sure to stop by the Conqueror's Classroom outside the door there. I've got a music stand set up that has the prayer list for the week as well as the outline for the Sunday school lesson. You can pick one up there, and I hope it will be a blessing. All right? Today's lesson theme verse is found in Ezra chapter 7, verse number 10, and where the Bible there says, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments." Today's lesson thought can be summed up with this one question: am I doing what God's Word has taught me that I need to do? Am I doing what God's Word has taught me I need to do? As we begin this sixth lesson in this series of lessons entitled God's Providence in Motion, we're going to learn about a man who lived in a very troublesome time in history. But as we can see in our lesson theme verse today, he had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgment. This man's name was Ezra. And Ezra came to face some very challenging situations in his life. But you know, he learned something that every born-again child of God needs to learn as well today. And that being that the Bible, God's holy word, is indeed the child of God's guidebook for life. You know, the children of Israel had been released from Babylonian captivity, but sadly, many of them had still not been released from Satan's spiritual captivity. Many of them had indeed returned to their homeland, and they had even been strengthened and enabled by God to rebuild the temple of God there in Jerusalem. Yet, the same people had become apathetic, so to speak, toward the things of God as well as the ways of God, and they needed to be taught again in the way of the Lord so that they might be able to walk in the ways of God as they resumed their lives in the city of God. So God sent to them a man that had already been prepared for the task at hand, and this man's name was Ezra. He had already, through his long lineage, his experience in teaching and understanding of the Word of God, he had prepared his heart, the Bible said, to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgment. And now he simply made himself available unto God, and he sought opportunity to do that which God had prepared him to do in life. Oh, how I want to be such a man as Ezra, a man who has prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and then to teach in our land the statutes and judgments of God. I want to be an encouragement and a strengthening aid to the hearts of those that I come in contact with as I teach them what thus saith the Lord. And I'm sure that each of you today, as born-again children of God, want to be the same way. Folks, let me ask you a question this morning. Has this COVID-19 captivity situation caused you to grow apathetic concerning the things of God? Have you been held in captivity there at home for so long that you really don't even now have a desire to be back in the house of God or out and about doing the things of God as you know you ought to be doing once again? Are we doing what God's Word has taught us we need to be doing and that we ought to be doing as God's dear children today? Listen, if the answer to any of those questions is yes, then honey, this lesson is for you this morning. We don't need to grow apathetic toward the things of God today, folks. For if you just look around you and see all that is happening in the world today, I believe that you would agree that the soon coming again of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, must be indeed nearer than it ever has been before. And so as we look at this lesson today, I want to introduce to you a man named Ezra in this sixth lesson that will be an inspiration to you as a child of God, as he walks, traveling throughout his land with the guidebook in hand. Traveling with guidebook in hand. Now today we're going to be looking at Ezra chapter 7, verses 1 through 26. And here we see Ezra's return. Ezra's return. In verses 1 through 9, we see how this man was being led by a providential hand. Look at it with me here in Ezra chapter 7, verses 1 through 9. The Bible says here, "Now after these things, in the reign of Artaxerxes, king of Persia, Ezra, the son of Seraiah, the son of Azariah, the son of Hilkiah, the son of Shallum, the son of Zadok, the son of Ahitub, the son of Amariah, the son of Azariah, the son of Meraioth, the son of Zerahiah, the son of Uzzi, the son of Bucky, the son of Abishua, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the chief priest. This Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. And the king granted him all his request, according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. And there went up some of the children of Israel, and of the priests, and the Levites, and the singers, and the porters, and the Nethinims, unto Jerusalem in the seventh year of Artaxerxes the king. And he came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, which was in the seventh year of the king. For upon the first day of the first month began he to go up from Babylon, and on the first day of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem according to the good hand of his God upon him." Folks, all around these dear people, it seemed as if the world was collapsing and everything was simply falling apart. But you know, the saddest thing was that in the midst of all that was happening around them politically and socially, there was yet another situation that was happening to the people of God spiritually. Apathy. disregard for anything worthwhile had settled itself into the hearts of God's people. And many of them had simply settled into a mere outward pattern of lifeless worship and tradition. They had for so long forsaken the word of God, and now they neglected the law of God that had been given to them through God's man, Moses. And even more of them had neglected God's command about marrying the pagan and unbelieving people in the godless nations around them. And now, through these ungodly marriages, compromise and the desire to be tolerant with sin and to be less dogmatic about what the Word of God actually said or taught, spiritual complacency, you might call it, had crept in to every aspect of life, causing all sorts of heartache and grief in every way that they turned. What a sad situation for the people of God to actually be in. But you know, God used both the situations now facing Persia, as well as the situation within the lives of the people of God, to persuade a pagan king to let the man of God, Ezra, specifically by name, to lead a willing group of backslidden Jews back to Judah and the city of God to perform a job that only the true and living God of Israel and of all creation could ever orchestrate. And here in Ezra chapter 7, verse number 1, we read these words. Now, after these things, what is he saying? After more than 60 or more years have passed by since the closing events there in Ezra chapter 6. Now, after these things, in the reign of Artaxerxes, king of Persia, Ezra, the son of Sarai, the son of Azariah, the son of Hilkiah, the son of Shallum, the son of Zadok, the son of Ahitub, the son of Amariah, the son of Azariah, the son of Meraioth, the son of Zerahiah, the son of Uzzi, the son of Bucky, the son of Abishua, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the chief priest. This Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given, and the king granted him all his requests according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. Now I want you to note here that Ezra had a very godly heritage going all the way back to the days of Moses and Aaron. But you know, Ezra knew something that most folks today don't realize. Ezra knew that earthly heritage alone could never enable him to do what God desired for him to do. So the Bible says here in verse 6 that this Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given, and the king granted him all his requests according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. And although he did indeed have both a goodly and a godly heritage, the fact that I want you to see here is that Ezra had a personal relationship with the Lord God himself. He was not depending on what his mama or his daddy or any of his ancestors before him had done for God, but rather Ezra desired a personal relationship himself with the God that had been taught so much about as he had grown up through all the years. And now, when Ezra went back to the land of Judah this second time, verse 7 tells us, and there went up some of the children of Israel and of the priests and the Levites and the singers and the porters and the Nethinims unto Jerusalem in the seventh year of Artaxerxes the king. You see, Ezra had to make a choice: trust in family heritage and religious upbringing, or simply trust the word of God, which bringeth peace and wisdom and joy to all men that will take hold of its great truths. And you know, Ezra chose to trust the word of God. Amen. Aren't you glad for that? Listen, if Ezra had not done that, you and I would not have this great book to be an example, an encouragement, a strength to each of us today. And you know, that is exactly what you and I need to be doing today as well. As the troubles flow all around us, and the heartaches beat against us, and as the devil does all that he can do to distract and discourage and destroy the joy of our salvation. Child of God, you and I need to make up our hearts and make up our minds as to what we're going to do during these troublesome times. And to be put quite simply, we need to trust the Word of God to see us through. Amen? Get in the book, folks, and allow the book to get into you. Now look at what the Bible said here in verse number 6. This Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. In other words, this man of God left that land of sorrow and heartache, and he placed his faith in the Word of God, specifically the law of Moses, as we read here today, which the Lord God of Israel had given. You see, folks, Ezra saw what the Word of God really was, and it remains to be today for you and me. It is the precious, holy, inerrant, and forever settled gift that has been given to sinful men from a great and loving God who so loved this old wicked and sin-cursed world. What a great way to see things, even as God would have us to see them, don't you think? And folks, you and I need to see this great gift of the Word of God in the same light as Ezra saw it. Ezra saw it as a valuable book. No wonder the devil wants to pervert it and destroy it. Honey, it's a valuable book. But not only is it valuable, but it's a precious book. Oh, as a precious book filled with precious promises from the very God who created us and who desires for us to know him as our own personal Savior. Honey, that makes it a precious book. But we also need to see the Word of God as a book to be cherished and well taken care of. It's a book that deserves our love, our honor, and our immediate attention. But then, it's also a book that needs to be thoroughly studied, and it needs to be made to become a foundation of our very thoughts, our actions, and every deed that we perform in this life. Ezra recognized the fact that the Word of God was different than any other book ever written or penned down by the hands of mere mortal men. It would not only change the lives of men and their direction in life, but it was also the means for the children of men to know the mind of God so that they might make themselves available to the very will of God as they travel down life's highway. And because Ezra had made himself available unto God, and he had prepared his heart already to seek the Lord's will in all that he did, he knew that what he was about to ask the king would be a very dangerous act. But he knew that the Lord was with him. Amen? And as we read here in verse number 6, the Bible said, "This Ezra went up from Babylon, and the king granted him all," not part, not some, not just the easy things, but "the king granted him all his request according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him." Man, that ought to strengthen and encourage your life. My wife and I were just talking about how that God has always supplied our needs. Man, when it seems like there's more month left at the end of the check than it should be, God always supplies our need. And you know what? It's according to the hand of the Lord our God that's upon us. And you know, this took great courage to do for Ezra, but Ezra knew that God was with him. And how did he know this? Let me tell you how he knew. It was because, as we earlier saw in the same verse, the Bible says that this Ezra was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which was which the Lord God of Israel had given. You see, Ezra knew that God was perfectly able to give him all that he asked for from this earthly king so as to accomplish the work of the Lord and to glorify God by doing that which God had commanded him to do. You know, the Apostle Paul wrote these words in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. He said, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all the ages, world without end. Amen. Oh, what a great truth for us to learn today, child of God. That child of God who will make up his mind or her mind and her heart and his heart to please the Lord instead of simply pleasing self will never be dissatisfied with their decision. And we have God's word on that, folks. Amen. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25 says, "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." And Ezra knew he had nothing to fear as long as he trusted the word of God and the God of the word. You see, folks, God's word changes lives. God's word changes lives. And God's word makes the difference in men's lives. And God's word is the ultimate guide in every affair of the lives of men, women, boys, and girls. And now here in verse 9, the Bible tells us that from the first day of the first month, when Ezra first began his trip from Babylon, until the first day of the fifth month when he came to Jerusalem, the Bible tells us that Ezra was kept safe according to the good hand of his God upon him. Can you imagine? As Ezra and his companions walked and traveled from Babylon to Jerusalem, from the first day of the first month until he arrived there on the first day of the fifth month, God was with him all along the way. Amen. The old song says, "And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own." Amen. And for those 4 or 5 months that he crossed and traveled through the desert, traveling some 900 miles from Babylon to Jerusalem, God's great hand of protection was upon him. And God's word guided him and reassured him that God would indeed supply all his needs and make every provision available so that he and his companions could accomplish the work that God had set for them to do. But you know, this long, long journey was nothing as compared to what Ezra would encounter with God's own people there in Jerusalem. For when he arrives there, he finds a people that are so sunken down into the depths of indifference and complacency that only by the mighty hand of God could there ever be any more joy or restoration of hope in the hearts of God's people again. And this is why God gave, point number B, he gave Ezra a prepared heart. Look at verse number 10. God gave Ezra a prepared heart. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. While Ezra indeed faced a great challenge with the people of God there in Jerusalem, Ezra knew where the power and the strength to revive God's people would once again come from, and that was the word of God. Amen. Revival comes from the word of God. It's not in some man. It's not in some denomination. It's not in some deed that we do. Honey, revival comes when we see the word of God as being real and we prepare our hearts to seek after the law of the Lord, not only to seek it, but to do it and then to teach others all about God's statutes and judgments. These people were in a deep state of apathy, meaning that they had lost all interest and all joy in serving the Lord through compromise and wrong decisions. This lack of concern for serving the God of their deliverance had brought upon them a spiritual indifference toward living for the Lord and serving him as they should, which in turn resulted in a type of spiritual callousness, a spiritual casualness, and disinterest toward the things of God, which basically caused them to even disregard anything and everything that used to be of importance to them concerning the Lord God. Boy, does that not sound like our modern day religious America today? Instead of being filled with the power of God so that they might be able to accomplish the true work of God, churches today are filled with a type of casualness toward the things of God. They lack the true power of God to accomplish that which the Lord has saved us and commanded us to do for Him while we're here upon this earth. But in the midst of all this apathy and spiritual disinterest in the things of God, the power of the Word of God became an igniter within the dry and lifeless stubble of the people of God. And through the power of the Word of God, God used His faithful servant Ezra to stir the hearts of His people through the preaching of God's Word. For this man of God had indeed prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. And then he was prepared to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Ezra had learned through his studies, his personal studies of the Word of God, that obedience unto God does indeed still today bring blessing, even as disobedience unto God brings forth wrath and judgment from God. The Old Testament scriptures are so full of this teaching, even as we read in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and even in Joshua chapter 1. As a matter of fact, the whole Bible is chock full of teaching which will stir the souls of men and women, boys and girls, to come to the Lord if only there is a faithful and willing man of God to teach it and to preach it. Ezra not only read and learned what the Word of God said, but he applied it to his own heart. And he did it even as Paul declared in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 14, where he wrote, "Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel." So Ezra not only had a providential hand to guide him and a heart that was prepared to teach and to preach the Word of God to the people, but God also gave him, as we see here, item number C, a Persian king's help. A Persian king's help. We're going to look at this in verses 11 through 26. I want you to go back, though, in Ezra chapter 4. In Ezra chapter 4, we saw how that before Ezra and the people returned to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple, they had already encountered great opposition against them starting, let alone completing the work that God wanted them to accomplish. But God had already begun to speak to the heart of a pagan king, as we see here in verse number 11, and through God's prompting, this king recognized Ezra as God's man. And he wrote these words in a letter, as we can read here in verses 12 through 14. Look at what he said. "Artaxerxes, king of kings, unto Ezra the priest, a scribe of the law of the God of heaven, perfect peace, and at such a time, I make a decree that all they of the people of Israel and of his priests and Levites in my realm, which are minded of their own free will to go up to Jerusalem, go with thee. For as much as thou art sent of the king and of his seven counselors to inquire concerning Judah and Jerusalem according to the law of thy God, which is in thine hand." Wow, look at that. The king of Persia recognized Ezra as God's man, stating, "Ezra the priest, a scribe of the law of the God of heaven, according to the law of thy God, which is in thine hand." This king knew that Ezra was God's man because Ezra was unashamed. He was unafraid. He was unlimited in the opportunity to hold up the word of God and proclaim, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel." Without a doubt, this king knew that Ezra's message, as well as his actions, were all inspired and established in the mind of God. And as a result of this, God led this king to basically give Ezra and his people anything and everything they needed to get the work of the Lord accomplished, even as we read here in Ezra chapter 7, verses 14 through 26. Let's look at it. Let's see what the Bible said. "For as much as thou art sent of the king and of his seven counselors to inquire concerning Judah and Jerusalem according to the law of thy God, which is in thine hand, and to carry the silver and gold which the king and his counselors have freely offered unto the God of Israel, whose habitation is in Jerusalem, and all the silver and gold that thou canst find in all the province of Babylon, with the freewill offering of the people and of the priests, offering willingly for the house of their God which is in Jerusalem, that thou mayest buy speedily with this money bullocks, rams, lambs, with their meat offerings and their drink offerings, and offer them upon the altar of the house of your God which is in Jerusalem. And whatsoever shall seem good to thee and to thy brethren to do with the rest of the silver and the gold, that do after the will of your God. The vessels also that are given thee for the service of the house of thy God, those deliver thou before the God of Jerusalem. And whatsoever more shall be needful for the house of thy God, which thou shalt have occasion to bestow, bestow it out of the king's treasure house. And I, even I, Artaxerxes the king, do make a decree to all the treasures which are beyond the river, that whatsoever Ezra the priest, the scribe of the law of the God of heaven, shall require of you, it be done speedily, unto 100 talents of silver, and to 100 measures of wheat, and to 100 baths of wine, and to 100 baths of oil, and salt, without prescribing how much. Whatsoever is commanded by the God of heaven, let it be diligently done for the house of God, of the God of heaven. For why should there be wrath against the realm of the king and his sons? Also, we certify you that touching any of the priests and Levites, singers, porters, Nethinims, or ministers of this house of God, it shall not be lawful to impose toll, tribute, or custom upon them. And thou, Ezra, after the wisdom of thy God that is in thine hand, set magistrates and judges which may judge all the people that are beyond the river, all such as know the laws of thy God, and teach ye them that know them not. And whosoever will not do the law of thy God and the law of the king, let judgment be executed speedily upon him, whether it be unto death or to banishment or to confiscation of goods or to imprisonment. Wow! Read that! Listen to that! What a God! And not only did God give Ezra all that he needed for the task through this pagan king, but this king told him to do it speedily there in verse 21. And then he gave it to the man of God tax-free. Can you imagine? Tax-free, toll-free. Look at it there in verse 24. And then in verse number 25, the king wrote, "And thou, Ezra, after the wisdom of thy God that is in thine hand, set magistrates and judges which may judge all the people that are beyond the river, all such as know the laws of thy God, and teach ye them that know them not." Boy, don't you wish our president would make such a decree as that today? Amen. This pagan king gave God's people everything they needed. And then he went one step further in verse 26 by stating, "And whosoever will not do the law of thy God and the law of the king, let judgment be executed speedily upon him, whether it be unto death or to banishment or to confiscation of goods or to imprisonment." Wow, wouldn't it be something if our president would do something like that with those liberals that only want to forsake the law of God and the God of heaven and do our country harm. Man, wouldn't that be a great thing today? But then I want you to see this. In verses 27 and 28, we see Ezra's response to all that God has done. First of all, Ezra praised God for all that he had done for him. When Ezra read all this, his heart burst forth with praise unto the God of heaven. And the Bible said here in verse 27, in the first part of verse 28, that Ezra shouted out, "Blessed be the Lord God of our fathers, which has put such a thing as this in the king's heart, to beautify the house of the Lord which is in Jerusalem, and hath extended mercy unto me before the king and his counselors, and before all the king's mighty princes." You know, Ezra got excited, amen? He got excited because he knew that he was right in the center of God's perfect will for his life, and that the sovereign and almighty God of heaven was in control of all things, including this pagan king. You know, Solomon had it right when he wrote these words in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1. He said, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, as the rivers of water. He turneth it whithersoever he will." And Ezra knew that it was God who deserved all his praise, not men, not kings, not preachers, not prophets, not the people, but rather God and God alone. And then in the last part of verse 28, we see how the Ezra, as well as the people, were all encouraged by God. Look at what the last part of verse 28 says. Ezra wrote here and he said, "And I was strengthened as the hand of the Lord my God was upon me. And I gathered together out of Israel chief men to go up with me." For this man of God, who had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it himself personally, and then to preach it to God's people who were distraught and discouraged by the circumstances around them, he knew that this would never make life easier for himself or even for the people to whom he was sent to teach and encourage. But Ezra knew that it was God who had given him and God's people the Word of God for this specific purpose. Folks, the Word of God is our guidebook. It is our strength. It is our encouragement. And Ezra knew that it was God who had brought both him and this people on their 900 plus mile trek from the land of Babylon's distress to the land of God's promise and rest. Amen. So Ezra chose to obey the Lord God. And when he did this, God gave him a joy that he could share with others, and he did exactly that. And you know, God then gave him every provision. God gave him everything that he needed in order to do all which God had commanded him to do. And not only was Ezra strengthened and encouraged, but the king, his seven counselors, even the adversaries of God's work, and finally even the very people of God were amazed to see that the hand of God was truly upon Ezra in all that he did. Now, folks, let me ask you this. Are you in that situation with God today? Listen, as God strengthened Ezra, Ezra in turn strengthened the people of God through the preaching of the Word of God. And then he selected out of Israel chief men to go up with him to Jerusalem so as to accomplish the work of God. And as I read this chapter, I could not help but think of two scripture passages found in the New Testament. The first passage being written by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9, which said, "For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries." And the second being found in the book of Revelation, where Jesus said to the church of Philadelphia, "I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name." Oh, dear child of God, your strength may be small today, but honey, the God that you serve is mighty to save. He's mighty to provide. He's mighty to take care of every need. And God has set before you, and he has set before me today, a great work to accomplish. For a great door and effectual is opened unto each of us today, folks. But I want you to remember this fact. There are many adversaries. Folks, don't let the adversaries keep you from accomplishing what God has set before you to do. For God indeed set before us an open door, and no man can shut it. But with that open door, God has also supplied for us every provision to see us through our long journey. Why? Because we deserve it? No. Because we've earned it? No, 1,000 times no. He has supplied our every provision through his power of the sweet Holy Spirit of God and through the power of his almighty word, because he knows us and that we have such little strength in ourselves. But he sees And he knows when we keep his word and when we refuse to deny his name, so he gives us his strength to do what we cannot do in ourselves. Oh, what a God, what a Savior is mine. Amen. And child of God, I want to encourage you today, keep your heart prepared to seek the law of the Lord, and not just to seek it and get a head full of knowledge, but to do it. And then to teach all those around you the statutes and the judgments of the Lord so that they can do the same thing for someone else one day that you were able to do for them. Traveling with God's guidebook in hand. What a lesson for us as God's children to learn today. But then perhaps you're listening today to this lesson and you've not yet been saved. You don't know Jesus as your Savior. Man, why don't you come to know the God of heaven, to know the God of great salvation, to come to trust Christ as your own personal Savior? Won't you please come to Jesus today? Receive him. Bow upon your knees. Confess your sin unto him and receive him as your own Savior today. Why not trust him today? Father God, we love you. And Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to teach this lesson. And Lord, within my own self, I am so insufficient to teach, to guide, to tell anyone about the great God of heaven. But Lord God, even as in Ezra's life, God, you chose him and you chose me to be able to teach this class and to give them encouragement and strength when it seems like all strength is gone, all hope is gone in this world. God, our hope is not in this world. It's not in the leaders of this world, but it's in you. Our hope is in the Lord and in the Word of God, which has been given unto us so freely. And Lord, I pray that today you will help us to take that Word of God and prepare our hearts to live for you because we love you enough to do it. And then, Lord, as we do what you've commanded us to do, help us, Lord, then to teach others not only how to be saved, but how to live for you from the Word of God. I pray, Lord, if there's anyone listening today to the sound of my voice that's not yet been saved, I pray, God, that you'll speak to their heart. Help them, Lord, to see their need to be saved and come to know you before it's eternally too late. Lord, thank you again for the privilege to teach this class. I pray, God, that the lesson will be a help and encouragement to each one that listens to it today. And God, we'll thank you for all that you do. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, Conquerors, we love you today. I hope to see you at 10:45 this morning, and we'll be looking for you at 10:45, then again at 6 o'clock p.m. tonight, and then again on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock as Pastor Belcher is going through the Word of God and showing us pictures of Jesus in the Old Testament Scriptures. Man, you ought to be here for that. God bless you. We love you. Hope to see you soon. Bye now.